Boy, business sure is slow here at the Fabergé egg warehouse.
You know, you open a business, you think all these things are going to be flying off the shelves.
We have a shared passion for Fabergé eggs.
Yeah.
You know, and we were hoping that would be larger than the two of us, but so far, it's been tough. But, you know, I think the pandemic. I think that's a big part of it. Yeah. I think we'd have more customers not for the pandemic.
It was kind of, you know, we couldn't foresee this.
We couldn't foresee this. Who could have? We put our life savings into this Fabergé egg empire.
Yeah. But
Hold on. There's a customer. There's someone coming in.
Hi. Are you open? Are you open?
Yes.
Yeah, we're open, of course.
Okay,
yes.
So you don't mind if I come into the store?
Yeah, no. Welcome.
Okay, great.
Welcome to Fabergé.
Great. I got
to
get this machoke. Is that expensive? I feel like I just knocked something down.
Yeah, please be
everything
careful.
Everything here is extremely expensive.
Okay.
We are insured, but please try not to break into the Fabergé.
I think he's over there.
Could you please just look up for your phone for 1 second?
No. I got to get this machoke.
Oh, my God. Stop, please.
I got to get this machoke. Is this a counter? Can I go over the counter?
No, don't go over the counter.
This is like tens of thousands of dollars worth of lost inventory.
Got it. I got the machoke. Ugh.
Are you happy?
No, he's really low rated. I'm just going to transfer him.
Wait, so hold on a second. You came into our store. It was something you're not privy to, by the way, is that we were literally just talking about how this store is a gigantic passion for us and how much we cared about this business.
And it's been a money pit. We've been losing our shirts here, and you knock over a bunch of our valuable Fabergé eggs.
Oh, shit, there's a Pichu! There's a Pichu! There's a Pichu! I gotta go, guys.
God.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Is this the Fabergé egg store?
Why, yes, it is.
Well, I happen to be a consumer with a lot of money, and I'm here for the Diglett.
I want to beat the shit out of you.
Get out of here.
We spin Pokestops at bus stops and claim Pokemon gyms at actual gyms in AR mobile game phenomenon Pokemon Go as Pokemay continues this week on Get Played.
To Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to Get Played! I'm your host, Ash Ketchum, along with my fellow host, Nick Weiger.
I'm normal-type man Nick Weiger, along with Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pokemon!
This is the third episode so far this month, this theme month of Pokemon, our month discussing all things Pokemon. I have still not adapted to the presence of Ash Ketchum.
You just never think in your life that you're going to become friendly and acquainted with a celebrity.
Yeah, and that you know, sometimes when you meet a celebrity, which we've all been lucky to do in various capacities.
As the West Coast elite.
I met John Travolta. As the West Coast elite.
You met John Travolta.
Yeah,
wow, that's cool.
He was in a spa trying to catch them all.
Oh, boy. Sometimes they're like, he's actually kind of quiet. He's actually got a different disposition, but Ash is an 11 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
He's exactly what you expect.
Well, if I ever make you uncomfortable, just let me know. I'll put my hat backwards and perhaps we can go into we can go to podcasting mode together.
I'm uncomfortable. Since you offered it, I will immediately respond that I am uncomfortable.
My main takeaway so far is Ash doesn't think we're in podcasting mode. And frankly, I'm offended.
I mean, really, though, come on. You can't argue with that.
I've always assumed that this part of the podcast was you guys just fucking around. You don't actually start the show like this, do you?
This is all going into the RSS feed, so
yeah.
Everyone will hear this.
Okay.
If it's recorded, it's going out.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Like, sort of like if it bleeds, it leads, but for podcasting.
Guys, do you want to be updated on my latest details in the hunt for my dad?
Yeah, absolutely. We got to know what's going on. Have you found your father?
Well, this week I was hunting all over Los Angeles looking for my father because, you know, Pokemon is an international phenomenon. And I thought maybe my dad moved to LA. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I found a bunch of clues, Detective Pikachu style.
Whoa.
That led me to an apartment in Santa Monica.
Wow.
I used to live in Santa Monica. How about that?
I've certainly been there before, and it might play into one of my stories later that we discuss on the show.
Wait. Wow. Where in Santa Monica, without doxing yourself, where in Santa Monica did you live, Nick Weiger?
I mean, I don't want to be too... I guess I don't live there anymore. I used to live near the... there's three train stops, so the easternmost train stop. I used to live there.
Wait. Three train stops? The easternmost train stop? Nick, are you my dad?
Oh, boy. How old are you, Ash?
I'm canonically 9, I think.
I think you're 10.
I'm 10.
Okay, so I would have still been a virgin at that point, so I'm not your dad.
Oh, that's too bad. I was really hoping that we could bond together, get some ice cream, maybe some poison cure berries, because I tend to drink a lot on the weekends.
You shouldn't be doing that, Ash. You're 10 years old.
Yeah, well, fuck off.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
I guess with these 2 weeks remaining, I'll have to figure out who my dad is or kill myself live on the podcast.
No.
Nope.
We
can't
have that please happening. Don't do that.
No,
we don't
want you to do that. And you know what? I'm actually, I know that you want to find your father, but I'm sort of glad you didn't do it week 3 out of week 5. That's pretty good. That's good for us. You know.
Yeah. It's kind of like how the NBA finals are fixed.
Yeah. It's exactly like that. Modern elections as well. It's good. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'll see you guys for the next 2 weeks.
Great.
And hopefully we'll be able to figure out who's my dadimon. Bye, everybody.
I think we're rubbing off on Ash.
You think that our personalities are in influencing his?
I think so. I think who's that dadimon is sort of like, that's like us. Like, we would do that.
Yeah, that's kind of an us thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that was going to be our segment for the third act, but I'll scrap it.
Yeah, we'll have to kind of think on the fly here. But I am sort of like, it's lucky for us that we have Ash here during sort of podcast sweeps month. That's good.
Wait, there's podcast sweep. Sorry, I'm late, guys.
Oh, hey, Heather.
Hey, sorry.
Hey, Heather.
The internet was down on my place, so we're recording in person.
I know. Heather and I are in the same place.
Yeah.
And we're going to ignore Nick.
Yeah. Wait.
wait a minute. I'm still here.
We're gonna
practice. I may be remote, but I'm still here.
Poor Zoom etiquette.
First off, boy oh boy, is it very tense.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, like, my social anxiety through the roof. Just having to make eye contact with another person here on 2 years into this nightmare.
I had to put pants on to record.
Wait. But you were already here.
You were already at work.
Yeah, I know. Everybody was like, thank God. Showed up, no pants.
Real power move.
Yeah, I put my pants on the same way everybody else does. Not at all.
Heather, you guys are together. I'm not with the two of you. I wish that I was.
Do you have
maybe
FOMO?
Some distant day. I do have FOMO a little bit. And you know what? FOMO kind of ties into the first thing we're going to discuss, which is, let's talk about some video games we're playing right now. And what are you playing?
What are you playing?
I'll answer what I'm playing. Or actually, What I'm not playing, to tie into the FOMO, I've been out of town. I've been touring with Doughboys, and so I haven't been able to play Elden Ring.
Is that just a straight plug? Now you're just doing straight plugs for the other
Doughboys,
show?
Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants, available on the HeadGum Podcast Network.
Yeah, well, you might as well rattle off the other dates, too.
We are going to be in Chicago this Sunday as of the record.
Fuck, really?
So
hey,
when
wait,
this episode
wait,
drops,
can I give you
yeah,
a fucking list of like places to eat?
Yeah, please.
Oh, man.
Heather's parents' house, number one.
Okay, we'll be there.
Parents' house.
School.
No, my school's gone.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. That's like such a weird detail.
Yes.
Nobody's school is gone, but yours is.
Did I say on the show that like 2 years before they went completely under, they were like
under?
Yeah, under, like financially insolvent.
That's so crazy.
This is America. A school can go bankrupt. Yeah. They're just like, it's just closed.
A place of learning can just be shut down.
International listeners are like, I do not understand this. Yeah. What are they saying? Yeah. It's burnt?
Medical debt? What is that?
But no, my like 2 years before my school went out of business, somebody wrote me, and I couldn't tell if it was fake or not, that they were like, hey, if you'll make a donation, we'll like name a hall. Way after you.
Yeah.
And I was like, absolutely not. But yeah, it's gone now. But yeah, I'll give you a list, Nick, of places
I
to
love
eat.
I love it.
That'd be a lot of fun.
It should be fun. You know, be kind of a whirlwind. We're just going in for a one-off. But all this, I've been doing all this traveling. And as such, you know, all my gaming has been on my Switch Lite, when what I really want to do is play Elden Ring.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I do want to say, our good friend Jordan Morris just finished Elden Ring. He rolled credits as the two of you did.
Wow.
And who we talked about the game on the show with. I'm at the point where I was like, I need to finish this. I know you guys know.
He invited
maybe
me
this
to
someone's
his birthday
first episode.
And I started crying.
That's
sweet.
I was like,
oh my God, Jordan thinks of me as a friend.
I know. That was a nice email to get.
So I don't know. It's like now I've put enough time into it where I'm going to finish this. I want to finish this. Yes. I want to be playing it. But it's a very strange thing to be like to have like 70 hours in a game and then to be taken away from it. This thing that you're putting a bunch of time into, mm-hmm. and then just be like, I guess I got to get back into it. I don't even know what, like, I guess I just got to try to make some time for it this week just to get a few hours in, just so I don't completely lose the muscle memory for how to play this fucking thing.
Yeah.
But man, it's, I you know what it has me feeling? Because I've been listening to the Triple Click podcast, and Kirk Hamilton over there has himself a Steam Deck, mm-hmm. which he just really is enjoying. The more I've heard about the Steam Deck, the more I'm like, I don't know if this thing is for me, just because it seems to require a lot of, you know, granular decision making from a technical side of things, like in terms of optimizing frame rates for individual games and deciding on your, you know, customizing inputs and that sort of shit. I just don't like doing. Here's my pitch. I want an Xbox Series Go. I want a fucking Xbox that you can have Game Pass on, that you can download games to, and that is just like a Switch but with Game Pass. Like, that to me would be my dream console.
Yeah.
That if you buy a game as well, you could put, like, if I bought Elden Ring, I could play it on that thing.
Isn't that effectively a phone, though, at this point? Like, if you get a backbone and you have an iPhone, you can play Game Pass games on your iPhone. Isn't
it's,
that
it's
like the
cloud? It's like cloud. I don't want to play this shit over the cloud. I want to download it.
You
want to
download
it
on hardware.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know. It'll never happen.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the Steam Deck also.
I
have a reservation for one, and I think I can order one in October, they say. So we'll see. We'll see.
I'd want to mess around with it, but I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's kind of like, I just want the, I'm old enough where I just want like fucking console level simplicity. I'm through tinkering with shit. I just don't care enough with the limited time I have for games. But I've been playing more Pokemon Let's Go Eevee,
mm-hmm.
and just a delight, just a total charmer. Really fun to progress through it. I will say that we'll talk about Pokemon Go for the meat of this week's episode, but we talked about a little bit the way that the Pokemon catching mechanic is in Pokemon's Let's Go, both Eevee and Pikachu, is pulled from Pokemon Go.
Yes.
And it's just one of those things where it just works better on a phone. It's like more fun. It's more engaging to actually do it with a more robust touchscreen versus trying to do it with a tactile, you know, button and analog stick. But that's a minor criticism. Just as a Pokemon game with modern level, modern-ish level aesthetics, Switch level aesthetics. It's graphics and sound. It's pretty great. It's pretty fun. I'm enjoying my time with it. And I'm going to finish this fucker. And I'm going to finish Elden Ring. Anyway, that's my time. Wow. I yield the floor.
You were talking about tinkering, and I had to do some tinkering recently, actually, because I got myself...
What's this?
It's what's called a Retroid Pocket 2 Plus, and it's a little sort of retro handheld gaming device.
Do you have it with you?
I don't. Fuck. I should have brought it with me.
Fuck!
I didn't know you were going to be here.
I didn't know I was going
to
be here.
I didn't know I had to put pants on today. but it's this little, it's about the size of an iPhone, honestly, and it has a small little touch screen on it. It's an Android device.
Wait, so it's iPhone, full iPhone?
More like mine, like iPhone 11 size, basically. Okay. Four buttons, A, B, X, Y buttons on it, a D-pad, and a left joystick. And then, but the right joystick is like the one on the PSP, mm-hmm. like where it's like low.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's called, but it's like, it's one like that. It's like a little nub.
An analog slip nub.
Yes. And so that thing is basically a pocket emulator that you can put ROMs on and stuff, or you could also use it to play like Google Play games, like on any Android like phone or whatever. And it's awesome, but it required some tinkering. I don't know how to do any of this stuff. I don't know how to get certain games working with certain emulators or whatever. I'm a novice in that, but I spent some time.
Right.
I got in there. I watched a ton of YouTube. I'm watching YouTube videos for this thing.
Nice.
And
don't get radicalized.
More like, hopefully they don't get radicalized to me from me watching them.
What?
I'm so radical. They're gonna somehow through osmosis.
Do you not know what radical means? Is that what this is?
I'm sort of like far out and have like a cool attitude.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh wow! Look at this radicalized video. Yeah, I'm gonna watch this.
Me doing a kickflip. But so I watch a lot of YouTube and stuff, and it can basically run every sort of retro handheld, like any retro console, through like, like beyond Sega, what's the one? It can run Sega CD, I think, also. But it can also run Sega Dreamcast, which I've had trouble with. I've not had much success with that, but I know what I'm supposed to do. I just haven't taken the time to do it. But I watched some YouTube, mm-hmm. and then I'm gonna do that. But it can also run some GameCube games, some,
wow.
not all, some at a pretty solid like 30 frames per second for certain games, 60 for others, if you have them like with the right settings and stuff. And I've been replaying X-Men Legends on this little fucker, which is a game that I loved. And I also started playing Beautiful Joe running on it like butter. Like,
wow.
And that game, the whole thing about that game is it's all inputs and it's so fast. Like, that game, you're just constantly attacking and stuff. And it runs perfectly. So I've been really enjoying that.
What's the battery life when you're playing like a Beautiful Joe on that bad boy?
I haven't gotten it all the way down to zero yet, but I think it went from like 90 to like, it was maybe like with an hour of play or something. It probably went down maybe 25%. Like, it was kind of fast.
Okay.
It's not like a huge thing, but also that's sort of one of my main complaints about it. I have two main complaints about it. The buttons are too loud, so hard to play if you're trying to be quiet. And two, it does feel a little cheap in the hand. Whereas like something like the Analog Pocket feels like a product of substance and like a very robust sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I squeezed that Retroid too much, it would be like it would be like the fake Turbo Man in Jingle All the Way. It would just like explode. But it's
I haven't seen it, but I will.
You haven't seen Jingle All the Way?
No.
It's so funny.
Should I watch it?
It's so fucking funny.
All right, I'll watch it. I bet I'll like it.
It's Sinbad and Arnold Schwarzenegger on a team. It's so funny.
Yeah, that's a good combo.
But I watch, I mean, not to digress too much, I watched this last Christmas and laughed my ass off. It's so fucking funny. but I do like this little device, and it's I have not had any problems with it beyond, like, I don't know what I'm doing. But like once things get working, it just works, and it's great. And hopefully, I get to spend a little more time with it because I'm vacillating between all these things now. I got too much. There's too much going on.
That's what you do.
That's nice.
Yeah, and
though.
you got to go into the office too. So you got that.
I know.
That,
I'm sort of like
you.
Thanos on his little farm, just like, oh great, I did it. Now what? Oh great.
Right. Right. Shoot. That's threshold fallacy.
Yeah.
You keep anticipating once I get all the fucking. You know, what do they call them? Power Stones?
Yeah, Infinity Stones, yeah.
Once I get all the Power Stones, the game. Once I get all the Infinity Stones, then I'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But
he was.
But then.
He was.
Like, I don't know. I think he was pretty bummed out. He's like, I got to be on this fucking farm. I did it.
But then, no, wait, what? Did we watch the same movie? Because I thought the whole point was that he was like, oh, I did it, and now I'm going to relax.
Well, maybe that's a take. But then he got his fucking head chopped off.
That's
didn't
true.
He?
That's
yeah, probably not too happy about owned. That, was he?
No, he probably wasn't.
Yeah.
But Heather, what have you been playing?
Well, what am I playing?
I've been playing this month's We Play, You Play.
Yes.
Very extensively, very joyfully, really loving it.
Pokemon Gold, Silver.
Yeah, Pokemon Gold, Silver. I've been playing Pokemon Go for this week. Which, you know, as we get into, was a really, really fun reunion. I've been dabbling in a little bit. It's funny, you mentioned PSP earlier. I dug out a PSP and played with it for a while. But the real headline is that last week I found out about a game that I didn't know existed and was like, holy shit. And I scoured the web for it for a good price. And this week, I have Pokemon Typing Adventure for the Nintendo DS.
Wow.
Phenomenal.
Which features a first-party Nintendo keyboard, which I would describe as very Wii in aesthetic. Like, it's Wii white, Wii blue on, like, the accent colors. All of the buttons are extremely rounded. They look like the... icons on an iPhone, like that same exact rounded corner. They're not clicky. They're very springy. And I thought maybe later Matt and I would boot it up so we could try it out for the first time.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I can't wait to type with Pokemon.
Wow.
That was dangerously close to Ash Ketchum right there. I got real excited.
Yeah, that's like a Beetlejuice sort of situation. If you did it too close three times, he's going to come in. So you better be careful.
But I haven't played, like, I have Final Fantasy, what is that fucking game called? Stranger of Paradise?
Oh, yes.
Which
oh,
I started and I think about from
God,
time to time.
So bad.
But if I'm ever going to sit down and play a game, it's going to be this month's We Play, You Play, because the analog pocket is extremely enjoyable. It is a treasure to hold and play.
Yes.
And then also... the game itself is so good, and I don't want to spoil, you know, how deep we're going to go at the end of the month, but I love it. I love it so much. But that's what I'm playing is I'm playing that I'm about to. Oh, also, I've been ever since I dug out my Pokemon Pikachu, which is the tiny 1998 Nintendo faux Game Boy looking Tamagotchi. I've been playing with that. And boy, oh boy, is that a delight, too. Every time we turn it on, Pikachu's doing something. I turned him on earlier. He was eating a sucker.
Yeah.
And Abadaka was like, is he eating a snail?
And it looked like, you know how, like, they have that little spiral?
Yeah.
Sure.
Bit about him? Yeah. I thought he was eating a snail.
He was eating a snail.
But now I can see how it was, like, you know, like, sort of a... classic looking lollipop of sorts.
I just want to say as a side note, I'm a huge fan of synchronized time in a video game.
Oh.
That's something that I've been experiencing in Pokemon Gold.
Mm-hmm.
But also on this tiny Pokemon Pikachu, it's synchronized to the day. So when it's time for me to go to bed, Pikachu gets into bed. And I really appreciate that as a player. Do you guys remember when Nintendo announced and then it just disappeared that they were going to gamify sleep?
Yes. Yeah, Pokemon Sleep.
Like, what the fuck, man? I would be so rested by now.
Yeah.
I don't need that in my life. I feel like I just, that's my one escape from everything is when I can actually get a decent night's sleep. I don't need a way. I'm so afraid that at some point sleep is going to be monetized.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, that's going to be such a nightmare.
I'll be rich.
Yeah.
I want Pokemon Sleep. I want to look up what happened. Pokemon Sleep is still an upcoming mobile game for Android and iOS. A Pokemon data mine in January 2022 revealed several additions to Pokemon Go app to support Pokemon Sleep.
Wow.
Including support for the Pokemon Go Plus accessory, reviewing sleep patterns, and earning in-game rewards. Oh my God, it's still happening.
All I know is if Gengar shows up in any of my dreams, I'm fucking dead.
Yeah.
He's going to eat my dreams.
Fuck. The Pokemon Company has promised it will turn sleeping into entertainment. In a similar way to how the Pokemon franchise's other mobile games, Pokemon Go and Pokemon Smile turned walking and oral hygiene into entertainment. Fuck. I cannot fucking wait. Mary is going to be miserable.
I guess we should get into Pokemon Go. I do want to say real quick that real-time clocks in games are, I really do enjoy that. I really do like it's like a Kojima thing you'll run into. I really like in Death Stranding that you get something on your birthday. I really like that, you know, is a thing I liked about World of Warcraft when I was playing that, is that the day and night cycle would link up with your time zone. I mean, that shit's always fun to me. But Pokemon Go, which I didn't ever really play, and I'm playing as an exercise for this month, and I'm going to keep playing it for the rest of the month, but I started playing it right after we recorded last week's episode with Jake Sprague, has so taken over such a large swath of my life that I fear if I keep playing this, and then if I also invite Pokemon Sleep into the mix, that I just, like, my already basically non-existent productivity is going to completely disappear. Like, I just, like, it's so perfectly addictive and designed to be so, and I can't get enough. But, you know, we are here in Pokemay. Our month discussing all things Pokemon. We're talking about Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go, like Yakuza, like a dragon, is another example, began as an April Fool's prank. There was a Google April Fool's prank in 2014. Matt, can we play that clip?
Pokemon Masters are the world's greatest digital explorers, and their passion for exploring will take our maps to the next dimension.
It's always been important to us to have the most qualified employees at Google. Now, using the technology created by the Google Maps team, we've prepared the most rigorous test known to man to find the world's best Pokemon Master.
So it's a fun little video. Do you guys remember this? I remember.
Yes.
I had forgotten about it, and then when we're looking at the, you know, as we're doing a little bit of research into this, like, I was like, oh, yeah, I remembered this. Like, I'd fallen out of my brain.
Yeah, it was just little Pokemon icons on Google Maps. And that was kind of it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, certainly not as
simultaneous to this, though, the company Niantic, is that how you say their
Niantic
name? Niantic had an AR game. And Niantic is a collaborative Google company, correct?
Yeah, they're now independent, but they began with a Google affiliation.
And they had an AR video game called
Ingress.
Ingress, yeah. I'm doing this from memory, and you probably have extensive notes because you're you're ready to go, and I'm not. Nick.
I'm a well ready to go. And I can tell you that so Niantic had this game Ingress, which was also GPS augmented reality based, and it was just, but you know, didn't have this amazingly popular intellectual property attached, so it didn't quite have the player base. But you know, it still had a lot of people playing it. Here's a quote from Business Insider. In fact, Pokemon Company CEO Tsunekazu Ishihara is a high-level Ingress player in Japan, which also smoothed the road for Pokemon Go. So Ishihara was already playing Ingress, was like, hey, we can put Pokemon in this shit. And he and Satoru Iwata, RIP, supposedly spearheaded Pokemon Go from the Nintendo side, eventually rolls out in after beta in July of 2016 worldwide.
Ingress is popular enough in Japan that there is an anime based on Ingress.
Wow.
That's fucking awesome.
Which I found out about the last time I was in Japan, 2018 or 2017, and there were posters up, and I was like, oh, fuck, Ingress has an anime? I played Ingress.
Yeah.
I played it when it came out on my Android phone that would, like, get hot playing it. And it was, because it had no IP attached, explaining to people what you were doing just seemed like you were hacking something.
Yes.
Like, it was sure. Not, I was like, oh, I've got to find these, like, data points, and they're like, what? And it's and you show them the
yeah.
user, the UI, and it's just, like, blue charts and gray, like,
yeah.
Nobody, right. It did. It looked like terrorism.
Yeah, I was gonna say, anybody looking over your shoulder is like, this person's a cyber terrorist.
Yeah.
They're hacking the water supply.
So after it comes out in 2016, this instant hit, instant worldwide phenomenon, it's very much in the zeitgeist, to the point that Hillary Clinton famously referenced it. And here's another clip that we pulled.
We're going to have a lot of jobs from building infrastructure to coding, creating new apps. I don't know who created Pokemon Go, but I'm trying to figure out how we get them to have Pokemon go to the polls.
It's like she's never said those words.
Yes.
The thing about it that, I guess sucks. just like because this is such a timestamp, right? Like, obviously, yeah. We know how mm-hmm. things shook out. So seeing this, I was like, well, yeah, no wonder it didn't fucking go the way it was supposed to go. But like, this is bad because everybody there is like, yeah, it's so crazy to see that they're all like, not a single one of these people in the crowd is like, huh? They're all just like, yes, I understood exactly what she said and why she said it, and it was good.
I think there's an element of you're at a political rally.
Yeah.
It's the candidate you're supporting. And I don't really get that. But my role as a well-wisher is just to cheer that for
yeah.
that. So fucking whatever. You know, I'd probably go like, woo, yeah. You know, if I was in that context.
Yeah, I love Pokemon
even
go to the polls.
Even though I was confused. But, yeah, but
she says it in such an unnatural fashion. It would be like, would you trust somebody at a deli who was like, here is your sandwich with the cheese. You'd be like, what? You've never said with, like, she says Pokemon Go to the poll. Like, it's like out of space.
It, not only the delivery, the way the words are said, but also the sentence structure is baffling.
Yeah.
It's, I want them to have Pokemon go to the polls.
Yeah.
It's,
I don't know,
like,
who
wait,
invented
what,
it.
What? What does that mean?
I don't know who invented it. It's such a funny thing to say, too.
Well, I really, I don't want to belabor this, but it is yeah. a very funny clip. It is an insane clip. It is, there is a part of me that thinks that lost her the election as much as anything else, because it's just like it's symptomatic of, first of all, a complete absence of ideas. Like, you hear what she's talking in the run up to that, and it's just like, we've got to get more people coding so they create more apps. Like, what? That's your economic plan?
Yeah, we need just more, like, apps on every phone.
Yeah, we just need more, like, you know, tech innovation and more entrepreneurs and more like what? It just sort of speaks to, like, the Democrat Party's, like, just complete rudderless state where there's nothing except for, I don't know,
yeah.
just a broad endorsement of neoliberalism. And then that combined with the here's a little bit of pandering to young people.
Yeah.
Like, that's like here's no ideas. Here's nothing that's going to help you. And here's a tone deaf pander to what I think you're fucking around with. And no wonder people were just like, you know, repelled by that, or at minimum, not motivated to vote for that.
Yeah.
I just want to put it in words, you know, so Hillary Clinton sucks. And now we can use the entire clip, this whole clip.
Yes.
When the fascists come to our doors and they're like, they're kicking down our doors. Yeah. And be like, no. Look at this get played clip. Look, we're on the.
Yes, yeah.
Please don't arrest my family. Listen.
My favorite part is the look she has on her face when she says it, because she's like, watch this. Like,
it's like, yes, yeah.
Man, we are going to get so much hate mail, whatever. Oh,
sorry.
It's all right. It's 2016.
It's fine now.
It's fine. Everything turned out okay.
Everything's fine.
I cried with my girlfriend and we're like, should we get legally married as fast as possible?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Oh, it's all fine.
God. Yeah. She's my fiance. Don't call her girlfriend. It's fine. Guys, I think I said it on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is that I called the summer of Pokemon Go the height of American Empire.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what it felt like. That mm-hmm. summer.
100%.
That summer when I drove to a park.
Yeah.
In California, here in Los Angeles, and there were people in the park all with their phones. And everybody was like every age group. It wasn't just kids. It wasn't just adults.
Yeah.
It was all kinds of people.
Absolutely.
And you would see those videos of like there's a Mew in Central Park and there would be a rush, mm-hmm. like a thick
yeah.
Independence Day style throng of people running to catch Mew.
Yeah.
Like that felt like real optimism. It
yeah.
felt like, yes. hey, the promise of technology from our youth, which was that this would change and transform us. It would make the world more connected. It would make the more invitational.
Yeah.
Like that everybody would be welcome to these things. The Game Boy that I played as a child, well, Game Gear that I played as a child, like, you can build the bridge of history to the moment where I'm in the park in Los Angeles and I give a nod to somebody playing Pokemon
yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is it.
We did it.
We right. did it. And then immediately after this, Facebook helps undermine the election. The entire like the entire system collapses
yeah, they went
on
too
itself.
Far. Yeah.
And also, it's also, as a side note, like a conspiratorial side note,
yeah.
the goal of the Pokemon app is to provide AR data to third-party sources.
Yes.
So there right. is no fucking way this isn't a CIA front where they're just, especially now that they have this new feature where you go up to Pokestops and you scan them with the laser on your phone.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, I did that. I was scanning a Pokestop today, and it was in a public park, and it was of playground equipment. So I'm like circling playground equipment with my phone, filming it. And as I'm doing this, I'm realizing I'm directly across the street from an elementary school. So I'm a 41-year-old man in the middle of the day on a Wednesday, just filming where children would play. What if anyone watched that, what are they thinking?
Nick, yeah. you didn't have yeah. to go all the way across town to that park, though. Like, you could have scanned any Pokestop.
I had to scan that one. It was important to me.
No, I remember exactly where I was, where I downloaded Pokemon Go, because I remember being excited about it. I was like, oh, that seems mm-hmm. like a Pokemon on my phone. That's cool. What a neat thing. I was in the inner sanctum at the UCB Sunset Theater waiting for a coffee or something. First Pokemon I caught was there. There was already a Pokestop there. It was a Charmander. I caught a Charmander. But I remember, like, getting texts from friends, like past guest Jacob Waisaki, I remember, hit me up one time and was like, what are you doing? There's a Dratini nest at Barnesdale Park right now. You want to go? And I was like, sure. And I was like on my way to go do something else and just didn't go do that thing.
I at the height
the
of
fucking rolls.
I mean, when so I played really intensely for that first like year and a half.
Yeah.
And then went through a personal life change.
Yeah.
And deleted the app off my phone.
Yeah.
And then picked it back up again like a year later, right? Mm-hmm. And I would it was when I came back to the game like a year later that I started like changing my schedule for Pokemon Go.
Wow.
When Trubbish came out, I was like,
I'm back, baby.
There is nothing I will not do to catch a fucking Trubbish.
Yeah.
And like when I saw the silhouette of Trubbish on my phone, mm-hmm. I was on my way to work out and I was like, not happening today. And then found where the Pokestop was,
yeah.
that it was near, rerouted to go get Trubbish, got out of my car and was just like, where the fuck is he?
Yeah. I need him.
I need him. And then I got him and I was like, nothing. There's no feeling. Why did I do this?
I remember driving to... somewhere I would never go as somebody from here is like the Santa Monica Pier. I just have no interest of going down
there. I went there.
And I was like, oh, there's like water Pokemon here. I'm going to go down there with my friend. And we went down there and spent a whole day there.
I drove across Los Angeles to the Santa Monica Pier because also I was told it was loaded with Pokestops.
Yeah.
Which at the time was hard to come by.
Mm-hmm. Just something I would never do ever. And then I was there for truly 8 hours, like put in a full day of work at the beach.
I can speak to that real quick.
Yeah.
Just on that topic, because as I mentioned earlier, I lived in Santa Monica at the time.
Yeah.
Apparently in an apartment complex with Ash's father. And and the so
were
the,
you
the, the timing of this
was that what was happening? Did you know him?
Look, I've been happily married for many years, but yes, I will admit to infidelity on this podcast.
You were fucking my dad.
I was fucking your dad, I guess.
Yes!
I mean, I didn't know it.
One more clue. I'm that much closer. Yeah. Too bad he had a bag over his head, or I'd know who he was.
He did like wearing a bag over his head, and he had a pet Wigglytuff.
It could have been
which was
comic.
Maybe a clue. Could have been.
Reference for two
could have
people.
Been the unknown comic from the 1970s,
yeah.
that Gong Show staple.
Yeah.
You guys remember all that. How does Matt know that reference?
I don't know.
He started getting a nosebleed as soon as he said it. But you were living in Santa Monica.
I was living in Santa Monica. I was not playing this game. I did download it, and I tried to get to squat my username. I was not able to do so. Someone had already grabbed Nick Weiger, but I just played a little bit. I got a Squirtle. Yeah, that was another thing. Honestly, that was probably part of why I didn't play it. I was so frustrated they couldn't get my name. But I got a Squirtle, and if I look at my Pokédex now, or not Pokédex, but all the Pokemon I have right now, and I have one Squirtle from 2016, and then every other Pokemon is from 2022 when I started playing again for this podcast, but I didn't really play it, and but a big part of it was just like at that point I'd already been messed around with, you know, like Fantasy Football on my phone and Candy Crush, and maybe Threes was out by that point. The point was I'd played enough stuff on my phone where I was like, I get addicted to gaming on my phone. I can't have gaming on my phone. It just completely absorbs my time, as Pokemon Go has this week when I started playing it again. So I missed out on this. However, living in Santa Monica, something that happened contemporaneous with the July 2016 release of this game is the May 2016 expansion of the LA light rail system to Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing I started writing basically every day. I was using it for my commute. It was absolutely transformative in terms of me getting around the city as someone who doesn't like to drive all that much. And riding on that train station at the time, I remember just this kind of, you know, new piece of infrastructure combined with this new piece of technology, Pokemon Go. People were just loaded up on this train playing Pokemon Go because the train goes all the way to the Santa Monica Pier.
Yeah.
So people were doing that. People were taking that ride just to catch fucking Pokemon. And like Heather said, it did feel like the height of the American Empire. It felt like, wow, we're connecting this whole city. Like we have a way to get around that's not being, you know, stuck in your fucking car. And meanwhile, people are bonding in their own social groups and with strangers over playing this augmented reality game. Like, this really feels like the future. It's all happening.
I think I spoke to more strangers during that summer than I maybe ever have in my life.
Yeah.
Like, because people were just like, oh, like, where are they? Like, they would just ask you because they would see you and you're another person there also. So they assume you're there for the same thing. And they would just basically say, where are they? And you'd be like, over there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was at I was at like Franklin and Co. or somewhere on that strip mm-hmm. where the UCB theater was, and was playing Pokemon Go that summer and was still playing in AR mode.
Okay.
So when I found a Growlithe, is that how you say that one?
I think Growlithe.
Growlithe. I never say any of that shit out loud, except for Trubbish, which I say every night before I go to sleep.
Night, Trubbish.
And I kiss my pillow. I was playing, and a woman came up to me outside of the Oaks and was like, what are you doing? Is that Pokemon? Like an older woman. And I was like, yes. And she was like, can I see? And I showed her that you could look through the phone and it was on the ground, like walking around. And she was like, is it really there?
She thought you were a witch. So, Heather, you played it pretty actively for a time. I didn't really play it. And Matt, was it a similar experience that you played it actively for a time and then you kind of fell off of it?
Yeah, I think I don't remember when I fell off. I think it was just like one of these things where I was like, I'm not really playing on my phone that much, you know? If it was a different thing, like if it was like a game, like an actual game that you put in something, I probably would have played it more for some reason. Like I would have taken that somewhere. But I don't love phone games just generally.
Well, the frustrating thing about Pokemon Go for me is that there is very little game element.
Yeah.
And like if you could throw a Switch that was like either just play the catching game or you could add on the layer of like battling the Pokemon mm-hmm. that you find
yes.
before you captured them, that would have hooked. I mean, I'd be fucked.
Well, because then they add
I'd
like
be really
added
skinny.
I'd be a walking skeleton basically. Because they added a bunch of stuff after I left that made it seem like I'd want to get back in there and give it a go. Like battles. Like there weren't battles in it when I originally was playing. There was like the gym element of it. And I did, I will say, because I was working at the Improv at the time, the Improv over on Melrose. And the Improv was a gym. And I would be there like five days a week. So that fucker was mine.
Yeah.
That was mine, baby. Yeah. I had it for a while.
I also thought of as the Improv as something of a gym. You know, I'd like to get up on stage.
Oh, yeah, work
some
it
stuff out.
Not just my jokes, but like my feelings, too. And like my
exactly.
Thoughts. Yeah, yeah. It's like in the laughter.
Yuck.
That's my punching bag,
yuck.
Baby.
Yuck. In the so in the.
I'm a road dog.
Oh, God. So gross. The battling in Pokemon Go is just tapping the screen and then selecting a basic defense or a basic offensive move. There's not like a, it's not engaging.
No, it's like, yeah, it's next to nothing. It's like, I like catching. The catching is like the fun thing, but it's also like not like, that is sort of skill based though, because it's like Angry Birds kind of, where you have to like sort of get it in the, I guess not exactly like Angry Birds, but it's a swiping mechanic rather, right?
Right.
But there's too many screens in it.
What?
It's one screen, but mm-hmm. I feel like there's too many menus. There's too much going on the.
Okay.
Like I feel like I liked it. Like looking at it now, I'm like, there's so much going on. And there's this professor guy that comes and talks to you sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, look, just show me the map, baby. And I'll catch him. But you can't be throwing instructions at me with these like events and stuff.
The height of my Pokemon Go playing was February 2020.
Wow.
Like, that was when I had the Pokemon Go Plus ball.
Yeah. And then were you like, I wish I had some more time to work on this?
What?
Right before the month after that.
I don't understand what you're saying here.
He's like, I wish right now in February 2020 that I, Heather Campbell, had more time, just more time to play Pokemon Go, but it'll just never happen.
No. And also, I did not leave my apartment from March 2020 through, I think, late August 2020.
Yeah, I remember you were pretty locked up. But
I
then
was
they added,
super locked up.
they added some COVID stuff to the game.
I didn't log back on. Like, I had the Pokego Plus.
Yes.
Which means that you don't even have to have your phone out to play.
Yes.
You're just clicking on a fucking Pokeball every time you walk past anything. So yeah. Not only could I play, like, by playing the game, mm-hmm. but, like, if I was, like, on public transportation or driving my car and I couldn't look at my phone, yeah. I could just have that fucking ball in my hand, clicking it constantly.
So you can just, it's Wait. Just something you can just click. You don't have to necessarily be by something. You can, like, and just you just happen to click and walk by something.
Well, in LA, yeah. in LA, there's so many Pokestops
yeah.
that, like, every moment you're driving, mm-hmm. there's a Pokestop.
So it also, in a way, functions as, like, a fidget.
Yeah,
like device as well. Yeah.
100%. Like it vibrates a little and you click it. It vibrates a little and you click it. You don't know until you turn the game back on whether or not you've spun a Pokestop or caught a Pokemon. Yeah. And then you open up the game again and everything is full and you have to delete a bunch of guys. And
can I still get one of these?
I think so.
Yeah. Can I get one of those? I kind of want one.
Yeah.
Because this is the thing I will say. And as a new playing this in 2022, first off, the menus thing Matt talked about is
unbelievable.
I absolutely
unbelievable. We fucking heard it, dude.
Mm-hmm.
We heard it.
Doughboys on the road in Chicago. Check us out. It will have been Sunday, but you can look for the episode in our main feed on the HeadGum
what
podcast.
The fuck?
Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. So the Matt, you talked about the menus.
Yes.
And that's the thing where I wish there was a little bit more, because, you know, it's basically an MMO. Although you talk, there's an absence of gameplay. There's not a lot going on. Well, there's not necessarily a lot of depth to combat in some MMOs as well. You know, there's it's mostly about being social and traversing and collecting shit. So it is kind of like a mobile MMO in some ways. And as such, it's just kind of inscrutable for a new player.
Yeah.
There's just so much going on. And it's all out there immediately. Like it's not like it's like, okay, you have to get to level, you know, you have to get to a certain level before you can raid. You have to get to a certain level before you can battle. It's nothing is necessarily gated with ladder rungs. At least it didn't seem so in my experience. So that it's just basically all available. And then this professor who, I don't know, does everyone get the same DILF? The silver haired hunk?
Yikes.
This
yes,
fucking,
we all get the same deal.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, man, that guy I'd like to fuck on my phone.
I hope he's a father.
Yeah. This sexy Trivago guy in Pokemon gear is talking to you, and he pops up, and he'll just have reams of text giving you a bunch of, like, lore and also, like, you know, missions to do,
yeah.
and you've just got so many, like, it's just a lot to keep track of early on. So I will say I wish there was a little bit more onboarding, or actually maybe a good amount more onboarding for a new player, although they're maybe just not thinking that much about noobs in 2022 because it's been going for so long, and it's brought in $6 billion in revenue since launch.
Jesus.
That was the figure I saw. So just an absolute juggernaut. If Nintendo was Rockstar, they would have stopped making games after Pokemon Go. Because it would just been like, you know what, this makes so much fucking money that we don't even need to worry about anything else. But I think right now the ecosystem is more geared towards people who've been playing since launch or been playing since, you know, playing for multiple years. The other element, and Heather, what you were just talking about, what do you call the thing again, the little ball that you click?
Pokemon Go Plus.
The Pokemon Go Plus. The reason I may be interested in that, if I keep playing that, even just for the rest of this month, is I love walking so much. Like I don't, you know, I try to minimize as much driving. I take a lot of public transit here in LA and, you know, take the train and the bus as much as I can. I take it less because of COVID, but since COVID. But, you know, I used to was taking public transit all the time and was walking everywhere. And I'm a guy who, like, you know, in 2021, I probably averaged 12,000 steps a day. I just walk a ton. I just like it. It's fun. This game is great because it incentivizes walking, but it sucks because it incentivizes walking while looking at your phone,
yes.
which I fucking hate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to trip over a curb and fall in a pile of cat shit.
Yeah. Fall in a big hole.
Because I'm trying. Exactly. I'm going to fall in a manhole to my death because I'm trying to catch a chess spin. And I don't need that.
There, I mean, we're laughing about it, but there are, I feel like there are like reported like Pokemon Go deaths. Like,
yeah.
People falling off cliffs and stuff, like while they're, you know, hiking or in playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, stepping in front of a bus. I could totally see it happening to me.
Yeah.
That's the part I don't love is walking and playing. And also, and I think that ties into, so you talked about like, you know, all the shit that you have to do. So you get a buddy, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you guys can tell me how much of this was in the game early on, but there's a buddy, which is you designate one of your Pokemon to, and one or more of your Pokemon, you can rotate in, you can have one buddy at a time, at least the level I'm at, you can have one buddy at a time. I don't know if that eventually grows. That guy, you get points for walking together.
Yeah.
But the walking together only, as far as I can tell anyway, like with eggs, which you hatch, which are another system, you have eggs hatching. Those are hatched by walking, but that seems to happen passively. Like if you have your phone in your pocket and you're just walking around, eventually you'll probably walk enough kilometers where those things will hatch. But your buddy, you have to have the screen open and the map open in order for that to be counted, at least in my experience. I don't know if that's how it's supposed to work. And that's the sort of thing where, again, like, I just wish this could be a passive thing. I wish I could, like, have my buddy with me, go on a walk, hit the 2 kilometer threshold to get some candy, and then sit down on a bench for a little bit and catch some Pokemon or whatever. You know, I don't know.
There is a feature in the menu settings called Adventure Sync, which allows you to...
I thought I had that on. Yeah.
Log keep going. Your steps, even if the phone is turned off. And I think that also applies to your buddy, but I'm not. Okay. I'm not sure. I just sent you, Matt. Are you getting any of my texts?
I don't think so.
Oh, fuck. Well, fuck. there is a Pokemon Go Plus and a Pokeball Plus.
Oh yes.
The Pokeball Plus works both with your favorite game, Nick. Let's Go Eevee. Mm-hmm. And with Pokemon Go. And that's the one that's shaped like a ball and you just click every time it vibrates. I don't have any experience with the Pokemon Go Plus, which is more of a wristband.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I might just want to wear this as a fashion item, though.
Yeah. Well, who wouldn't?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And on that note, like you get to outfit your wardrobe in this game, your Pokemon trainer. And I do like that. I think the wardrobe options are pretty fun.
I was going to say, your outfit is pretty slick.
I'm feeling we should post screenshots of all of our trainers, but yeah, thank you for that. I'll take the compliment. I'm pretty happy with that. I'm kind of decked out in head to toe pink.
Yeah,
and I got myself a little purple a Gengar backpack.
And you're and, showing your butt.
Some little bangles. Yeah, I bought the pose where you can show your ass. I paid Pokemon coins for that one.
I don't know if this is worth sharing or not, but the text I sent you is for a song that I wrote at AOK called Small Town Pokemon Go, which I wrote and performed back in 2016.
I have it right here.
It is it's real cringy.
Do we not play it?
But I think we should play it because somebody's going to be like, I can't believe Heather didn't bring up that she wrote a song about Pokemon Go when it came out, which is Small Town Pokemon Go, which was about the Reddit extensive lament that when you were in a small town, when the game was launched, there was nothing you could do. So that's what the song is.
Wow.
Nice sound alike.
I want to be the very best. But I live in a small town. When I turn on Pokemon Go, there's no Pokemon around. My only rival's the gas station guy. I swear I'll defeat him. I've been Pokestops for 50 miles. I've never seen a fucking gym.
Et cetera, et cetera.
This is great.
That's good. Yeah, that's like the least cringe thing that's ever been on this podcast. Have you heard me and Matt? That's great. I didn't think about that because I've lived in Los Angeles County my entire life. I've always been in kind of, you know, even when I was in the suburbs, I've always been kind of more densely populated areas. I didn't even think about that. That absolutely would have been an issue.
Yeah. When you were playing in a small town when the game first came out, and I think this is different now, it was basically Rattata and that was it. Like that's all you'd ever see. And you never had a gym and you never could spin a Pokestop because nothing in your town was designated as one. I thought L.A. was dense for Pokestops and Pokegyms. Then I went to New York and played, and I was like, fuck.
Sure. Yeah,
I'm sure. You can stand in one place and, like, spin all day in any neighborhood.
Yeah. The rat, Rattata is a pizza rat variant.
Yeah. And then I well, no, that wasn't. And then when I played in Tokyo, it was just all Pokestops.
Wow.
Like, the density was so intense.
Yeah.
And that felt a little overwhelming. Also, there are region-specific Pokemon.
Yeah.
That if you travel to other countries, you can get, like, the bird with the green olives. No, onions. The green onions.
Oh, Farfetch'd?
Yeah, Farfetch'd.
Yeah.
And if you go to Australia, you could get the kangaroo Pokemon.
Oh.
Et cetera, et cetera.
That's awesome.
And that's kind of nice.
Yeah, it gives you excuse. Yeah, cool. If you're an active player, you're like, oh, like, you know, maybe it's not going to be the reason somebody decides to travel the world, but it's certainly a nice incentive if that's something that you're doing anyway.
Yeah, when I was like, oh, yeah. There's also, oh, Mr. Mime for a while was exclusive to Europe.
Oh, Sacre Bleu.
Yeah, Sacre Bleu. That's where my dad was.
There was like a time where when I was playing the game and like if I was away for a weekend or something, like even like in Palm Springs or something, I'd be excited to see what Pokemon are over there because I knew it'd just be a little different than like my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it would just always be like, it'd just be cool. And then I, you know, my girlfriend would be like, what are you doing? We're on vacation. I'd be like, yeah, you're right.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is it's just like I'm trying to get off of my devices when I travel. But, you know, as I mentioned, I was out of town. And that's part of how this experience timed out is that I was in Boston for a few days.
Yeah.
And it was like it was interesting to, you know, be just still kind of a neophyte, still being inaugurated into the Pokemon Go experience and then to spend just like basically a day in L.A. and then go to a different city and sort of be like, oh, wow, there's a bunch of Pokestops in this airport. You know,
yeah.
Oh, this Kelly's roast beef in Boston is a Pokemon gym. It's just like it was just kind of an interesting way to see a city for the second time. I think that was the second or maybe third time I'd ever been there and hadn't spent expensive time there and, mm-hmm. and extensive time there. And so just kind of walking around and seeing what was Pokestops and what were gyms and where Pokemons were. It was like Pokemon were lurking. It was, I don't know, it was a fun experience. But and it also, I will say, like, it definitely gave me something to do in when I had some downtime for travel,
mm-hmm.
like just sort of sitting in an airport and I could just attach a lure to this Starbucks that's a Pokestop and just sort of catch Pokemon idly for a little bit. You know, I did enjoy it for those moments.
You get access to the changes in a neighborhood by looking at the Pokestops because they will be for things that don't exist there anymore, especially in like a gentrifying neighborhood.
Yes.
You'll be like, oh, this bakery has been destroyed.
Yeah.
yeah.
And now it's a high-end shoe store, but I'm still spinning that old bakery.
Right.
It's a little sad.
This Pokestop says Heather's Elementary School. but all I see is a Jamba Juice. What the hell?
All I see is rubble.
the origin, the entry point of Heather's hole.
Yeah. Heather's hole is just my old school. I feel like, I think the thing you just described, Nick, is the perfect way to play Pokemon Go. It's extremely casual, but then mm-hmm. still has some high level opportunities for like high level players. I'm a few levels away from being able to nominate Pokestops.
Wow.
That's cool.
Because I think at 38, you can be like, oh, I think this should be a Pokestop. It's kind of a neat way to check in with people. Like sending somebody a gift every morning is kind of just nice.
Yeah. You know? I got gifts from you guys and I was like, look at this. Look at us.
I have really enjoyed that. I've had some friends, some listeners of the show, because I just sort of like post. I just sort of mentioned in Discord that like, hey, I'm gonna mess around with this game. Everybody wants to friend me, so I got a few friends. I'm sending you guys messages or sending you guys presents and sending presents to some listeners. And yeah, it's fun and it's nice to get a gift and just like, oh, this is a mural from St. Paul.
Yeah.
And I also got, you know, whatever, some. some pineapple berries I need. I do like the gifting system a lot. I do like how it incentivizes like scanning Pokestops and then sending them to people and then getting shit in return. Like that's all great. That loop is great.
And
there's a lot to like here.
Hit level 20 in like a week of playing, right?
Yeah, I hit level 21 this morning.
Wow.
That's fucking insane.
But I do kind of think this is probably, they've probably put in some acceleration for getting up to level, because they tend to do this in these types of games over time, of just like you can get up to level a bit quicker. So if you have a friend that's been playing for a while, you can more get to their threshold. That's my guess is what's going on.
Something that I just remembered seeing, like when I was active playing Pokemon Go, at the height of it, when everybody was doing it, right? There were signs on businesses that were like, don't come in here and do that, basically.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, there are no Pokemon here. Don't come in.
Yeah. Or there were other businesses which were like, welcome Pokemon players.
Yeah.
Because it was like,
the smart thing to do, I think.
If they come in, they'll buy a sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. Right. They'll buy a freaking cone or something.
I'm going to take a look at, oh, shit, there's a Porygon right here. Fuck, he just disappeared.
Oh, no.
Fuck. I want to see what level I am and how. So I am level 34.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I have 648,000 XP. It is 1,250,000 to level 35. Because
wow.
I think each level doubles. It's not doubling, because that would be insane, but the curve of XP in Pokemon Go is fucked.
Yeah.
Right.
I visited 5,910 Pokestops. I have a total XP of 5,398,000. I've walked 2,000 kilometers and I've caught 4,800 Pokemon.
I wish I was playing it more. It's kind of surprising that I wasn't more into it, honestly. Like, I did like it when I was doing it, but it could have been, I guess maybe a big part of my personality, but I just caught Porygon right now.
Oh, fuck. He's right there. He's back.
I got him.
Oh,
I just got Snivy where I am.
We got him.
I caught a Snivy, but he was a zero stars, so I transferred him to the professor.
Oh,
that's what happened while Heather was talking.
Something that I liked too about this game actually is that something we didn't talk about in the main Pokemon series. There's like an app called Pokemon Home. That is basically like an online, it's like Dropbox for Pokemon, sort of, where you can transfer Pokemon from certain games to this box so that they're all in one location rather than you having to figure out a way to trade from like Heart Gold, Soul Silver to the Nintendo Switch. There's not really
Holy
a way
shit.
To do that.
That's awesome.
And so that's cool.
I've been paying for this for a while. It's like $2. It's like $3 a month or something. And I've just been paying it for God knows how long. Yeah.
Is it possible to go from, because I know that the original DS game allowed you to import from Game Boy Advance.
Yes.
And Game Boy Advance would allow you to import from Game Boy.
Yes. You could do it.
You could get like the original 151 all the way to your cell phone.
Yeah, basically.
Fuck.
Get them and get them to your Switch even.
Holy
like
shit.
Yeah. But so there was through Pokemon Home, you could get your Pokemon Go account on there and transfer Pokemon you've caught from Pokemon Go into your game also. Which was something I did a little bit, because I was like, oh, like I'm trying to maybe complete this Pokedex or something. Like, I have this one here. Let me get that in there. But I don't think I ever completed the Pokedex after that.
I'm looking at the Pokemon home site right now. And so, yeah, it does work with between Pokemon Go and Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. So I should try it out just to see what that's like.
Yeah.
I'll do that for next week. Also Pokemon Sword and Shield. And then it's also compatible with Pokemon Bank.
Oh yeah, Pokemon Bank was the other one that it's not what you think. I know what it sounds like. It sounds like it's like a bank, but it's sort of the proto Pokemon Home. You would put the this is how convoluted Nintendo does things, of course.
Yes.
This app, I think, extracted the Pokemon from the games, like for DS, into Pokemon Bank, and from Pokemon Bank you can transfer them to Pokemon Home.
Yikes.
A nightmare.
That's intense.
Yeah.
I do wish it was a bank, because I transfer my checking account.
Yeah,
right
they're
now.
Actually. It's crypto. It's like that's your Poke wallet.
We haven't talked about the music, which is done by the original composer and has a really strange sonic fidelity, audio fidelity to it. That is like, I would call it foamy.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really, really, really lossy.
Yes.
And I would love to play a little bit of it if you wouldn't mind hooking either your phone up or playing it off YouTube if the audio fidelity on YouTube is correct. But I want to say something personal, which is that I play Pokemon Go with the sound on because I have a pair of glasses that have speakers in them. So I can walk around. Nobody else can hear that I'm listening to Pokemon music. I can hear the regular world, but I'm playing Pokemon Go with my glasses. The cadence of the song that plays while you're playing the game is exactly my dog's footsteps.
Oh.
And it sounds like this. It's my dog's height, exactly.
So that's awesome.
It's so dumb, and but this also is much higher fidelity.
Yeah, this sounds nice.
This sounds great.
I know what you mean, though, Heather. It does sound a little like chunky and distorted coming out of a phone.
It sounds terrible coming out of a phone. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Why would you? Why wouldn't that be the quality? It's an MP3 for sure.
Yeah.
Like, why?
I'm not sure.
It sounds like it's being played through a napkin.
We'll have to ask Devin.
Yeah. Devin should make, well, we've got a theme song. But if we didn't have a theme song, he should like process the song till it sounds like the Pokemon Go instruments.
How do you find your this is another thing here where just like there's a friend code that you have to do. It's like, oh yeah, it's fucking Nintendo.
Right.
I don't even remember. And now I'm just like, I don't even know how to find your friend code anymore.
I think you go to like your profile and then there's a tab that says friends and then you can press add friend and then your trainer code comes up. And you can copy that, which is convenient, which the Nintendo Switch does not do. You should be able to copy your friend code.
Nah.
Yeah, you're right. It's too easy.
No, yeah. Should I read off my friend code here?
If you want.
That's backfire, right?
That's a terrible idea, but go for it, Nick.
Why don't I just see what will happen? My trainer code, GetPlayedWigs, is my username, 655-7881-1895. And if anyone wants to add me.
That's also his home phone number.
And social security number.
Mm-hmm. Just try and dox me. Good luck.
They call him the Nick Undoxable Weiger. It's true.
It's true.
That's what they call him in these parts.
And yet he still gave out that where he used to live on this podcast.
He's like, fucking try me. You can't even do it. I'll give you clues even.
Guys, I feel like thinking about wrapping up this Pokemon Go segment, the game is a solid 8. It's not a super addictive game. It can be addictive in chunks, but it's not like there's just nothing to it, which is also its charm, right?
Fully agree.
And, you know, when I used to hang out on the LA Pokemon Go subreddits, there would be meetups that people would schedule to go on raids in Little Tokyo. And I'd be like, oh, should I go? And then I was like, that sounds like a nightmare. I'm not going. But in a world where all of my gamer friends, which is you guys, where we're all playing Pokemon Go and we don't have jobs and it's like, let's go do the join up on a raid.
Yes.
I can imagine that being really fun and really satisfying. And if that was the case, I bet the game would be a 9.
Yeah, it'll never be a 10.
It'll never be a 10.
I agree with the thoughts. I do wish that the battling, which is one thing we touched on, I wish that was a little bit more robust. I wish it was a little bit more JRPG menu-y as versus like this mobile tap and swipe game.
Yeah.
Because I just don't find that engaging. But I do find the combat, the tactical combat in Pokemon itself, the mainline Pokemon games, to be very fun and very engaging. And the game already has like potions and revives and shit. So like it already has all the item systems. So, you know, it'd be nice if there was a way to make that a little bit more, make the decision making a little bit more active. I don't see why it has to be a tap fest necessarily. But that said, yeah, I do think this is a really fun game. One little nugget I do want to toss out there. My friend Robert Persinger, who Doughboys listeners know as the Drop King, talked to me about Pokemon Go. He's been playing continuously since shortly after launch in 2016. And I told the two of you that his cumulative walking in the app is 8,500 kilometers, which translates to 5,300 miles.
Wow. Shit.
So, yeah.
Wow.
I walk about that.
Staggering.
Kind of like a month, so kind of not. Okay. Go off, I guess.
That's a lot of miles.
No, that's outstanding. That's wild. Something I will point out. They, at the start of the COVID pandemic, they sort of modified the game so that players can play it remotely and have some of have Pokemon, more available Pokemon, like where they were and like closer to like Pokestops and things like that. But they rolled some of that back, which then was criticized, of course, because it negatively impacted people who were not going back outside like during the time and also people with disabilities and stuff. And
sure.
That's unfortunate. An unfortunate part of the game is that, yeah, it's not very accessible for something that everybody could be doing on their phone.
100%.
I've only spent probably 6 months out of the last couple of years not being able to walk because of knee surgeries.
Yeah.
And it is daunt everything. Everything in the whole fucking world is built around like mobility.
Yes.
And a game like this is just off limits for somebody who doesn't have mobile access to things. And that's a real fucking bummer. You can light incense, but if you're not going to be able to get to a gym, then you're not going to be able to get to a gym. And that's really tough, especially since gaming on the whole is becoming more and more broadly inclusive with accessibility options and alternate controller styles. All that shit is just not applying to Pokemon Go.
No. And there's also, it seems to be that there's speculation that Niantic has placed gyms and Pokestops near businesses as like a sort of cutback, like, oh, we'll put this here for your business. The business gives Niantic money to have the stuff there and to drive business toward like McDonald's or something and things like that.
Sure.
They're transparent ads in this.
Yeah.
There's just like the Starbucks are just branded partners. Yeah. The Starbucks Pokestops, I said, and you can click through it to get an ad for Starbucks or it will link you to their mobile app.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that's absolutely an element in this. The accessibility thing, it feels like this would be a thing. And obviously, No solution is as hand wavy and as simple as it sounds, but it does feel like if there was some sort of toggle where you could just toggle off like when it says like I have to get closer to scan this Pokestop, if that could be just like a thing that like, hey, there's an accessibility mode where I don't have to get closer.
Yes.
If I can see it on my map, I can still, you know, still scan it.
There was some guy on YouTube who put his cell phone in a drone and was just like moving it around in a circle.
Wow.
And unlocking all of the bonuses that way.
Wow.
And it's like, if that's, come on.
You shouldn't have to do
right,
that.
There's ways to exploit it. Yeah.
And I've seen
it's not a competitive game, so like, you know, whatever. It's
right.
If people are going to exploit it, they're going to exploit it.
I've also seen like pictures of people with like 30 phones.
Yeah.
All playing the game. Like they're like lined up and they're just people got really into it. I don't remember why they were doing that or what the benefit of that would be.
That seems really pointless.
Yeah. I can't think of why.
It's not like you could do anything with it.
No. But just a picture of somebody with like a tower of phones in front of them is really funny to me.
Yeah.
I wonder if people were selling accounts in the early days.
Oh, maybe.
I wonder if that was a thing. Like, hey, here's a fully loaded account, and then I'll put this on. You know, I'll put this up on some fucking foreign site that you can bid on.
And
I was gonna say
there's Pokemon. There's still rare Pokemon, in any game. So I'm sure maybe if it was like tied to like a certain event, they're like, oh, like I'm just increasing the probability that I'll run into this rare Pokemon, this event Pokemon, and be able to get it on one of my 30 phones.
I wonder.
It's a mild tangent, but one of my favorite robots ever, like when people just invent robots to do dumb shit.
Yeah.
Is someone invented a Wii Sports bot that could just bowl a perfect game. Did you ever see that? It's so cool. It just would spin the Wii remote perfectly. And then just, it was all timed out where it just consistent 300s.
Strike.
That's so funny.
That's fucked. But yeah. Good on them.
Kind of rules.
No judgment. This is a judgment-free zone.
Yeah.
You hear that, Judge Dredd? Get out of here!
You hear that, Justice Kavanaugh? Get out of here! You're not welcome here. Neither are you, Hillary. What are our politics? Yeah. Pure nihilism. Let it burn.
Hobo cop, baby.
Well, guys, I know that we had gently discussed me doing a Heather's Hole this week.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much to talk about in my Pokemon world in Heather's Hole. Also, it's weird doing this in person.
Yeah, we haven't. That's a segment that was born in the pandemic.
Because I was living in the hole.
Yes, yes.
And right. Now here I am.
You've brought some of the hole here.
I've brought some of the hole. Also, the audio here is different, so it's harder for me to find that register.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Mm.
But I looked up all of the Pokemon games and accessories that I had for fun to see, like, hey. I wonder what the price tag is on my hole this week.
Christ.
And here's what I've discovered. I have Pokemon Sun. Retail price or collectible, what do you call it? Game charts?
Mm-hmm.
Game charting. $20.99. Okay, not so great.
Sure.
Yeah. Go out and get yourself a copy of Pokemon Sun.
Might as well.
You know it's going to go up in price. Pokemon X, $33.50.
Okay.
Good, not so bad.
Getting close to retail.
I have a copy of Pokemon Black. That's $81.
Okay, about double the price, yeah.
Pokemon Diamond, $50.
Okay.
Okay, great. Pokemon Sapphire for the Game Boy Advance.
Uh-huh.
$245.
Jesus.
Pokemon Ruby for the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
$270.
Oh, man.
Is this cart only, or is this full game?
Well, I have the full thing.
Right.
This is the whole thing. Pokemon Pikachu, which is this little handheld device that I've been fucking around with.
Yeah.
On game charting, $500.
Jesus Christ.
And then the crown jewel of my Pokemon collection is apparently the Pokemon Game Boy Advance from the New York Pokemon store, which is now a Nintendo store, but at the time was a Pokemon store. Which complete in box is $1,011.
Wow.
Incredible.
Which one is that? Is it the, it's gold?
Yeah, it's gold. It's It's not the flip up Pikachu SP.
Yeah.
This is the New York Pokemon Store Game Boy Advance.
Wow.
Let me tell you guys.
That's cool as hell.
If you're out there and you've got games, don't get rid of them. Don't give them away. Don't sell them until you lose your job. And then, like me, you can go through sections of your life where you're selling shit off so that you can pay rent.
Could you somehow enter the Speed Force and tell me when I was 12 not to do this?
Yeah. I got a lot of shit I just like gave to GameStop for, you know, $4 in store credit.
I mean, there was
back in the early 2000s.
We've talked about this before, but there was shit I sold on eBay that doesn't even come up anywhere. Like stuff that, like, I'm like, I've never fucking seen this.
Yeah.
And I got rid of it.
The one time it was up, you put it up.
Yeah. I was going to like limited edition Capcom events that were invite only.
Yeah.
And had like, I literally went to a Street Fighter event that was like a Fight Club in a warehouse in Los Angeles. And they had a t-shirt there and I got that t-shirt. Never fucking seen that t-shirt online. It's such a good t-shirt.
Whoever bought the thing from you after you sold it, stolen valor.
They just took a dump on it.
Yeah, that's what they bought it. Like, finally, I bought it so I can take my dump.
But as I mentioned at the top of the episode, I did bring Pokemon Typing Adventure.
Yes.
And I think,
hell yeah,
I think that we should hook it up, and I think Matt and I should give it a quick spin live here on the podcast.
Yeah, here you go.
All right, I'm going to let Matt, I'm going to let Matt play it.
Wow, me first? Okay, the inaugural play?
Here you go. So, Typing Adventure, here's the keyboard.
Okay.
And Matt's going to try typing with Pokemon. You might remember that at one point we covered, did we cover? Yeah, Typing of the Dead.
Typing of the Dead?
Such yes. An excellent game. Enter.
Typing of the Dead rules. I just looked it up because we were talking about like stuff that Matt and I used to own that we just got rid of. And yeah, because I had Typing of the Dead, the keyboard, and the game on Dreamcast. And it looks like that's going for around $250.
Oh, nice. I have that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great.
There you go.
You should keep your games.
Yeah, I got rid of all my shit. I have nothing.
All right. So what's it saying, Matt?
It says, learn with Pokemon Typing Adventure.
Okay. Enter.
Oh, I see. It's having me press enter a lot.
Can we hear this any louder? Is it?
Yeah,
I'm hearing it like. Enter. Yeah, that's what I want. I want to hear that enter louder. Enter.
Space. Oh.
Enter. Enter. Space.
This is crazy, but it's like I want to know what how to.
Shift. Control. I like the sound of the voice.
How annoying. Yeah, it's a very soothing voice, but I wonder just how annoying this is for our listeners.
Well, I wonder. This is also such a nice DS. What DS model is this?
That's a 3DS.
Oh, it's a 3DS.
Yes. Which
3DS model is it?
Start the game?
I don't know how. Let's see. Oh, it might be. Oh, it says touch here. I wasn't looking at the bottom screen.
It looks like a white 3DS from here. What model is that?
I don't know. The white 3DS.
It has the other nub though too, so it's like maybe the new?
New 3DS.
New 3DS.
It's the new 3DS, okay.
Yeah.
So Matt is starting up a game of Pokemon Typing Adventure, which I learned from a listener was never released in the United States.
Wow.
It is an Australia game. My copy is from Australia, distributed by Nintendo
Crikey.
Australia. But never came out here. I mean, I'm sure we'll edit this part down.
I don't know.
Keep the crikey, though.
Okay, it says Alt Rocky Range. Okay, try pressing the enter key first. Here you go. Good. Press the enter key to enter the space that you want to research. Let's see how good you really are. We'll use the
What's
key.
What's on screen right now is like a... Are there Pokemon?
Not yet.
Present?
Now, there was a lady talking to me, and it says type. Okay. Now it says it's just text that says type the keys that appear on the balls to reach the end. Okay, save one's best. Okay, here we go.
So now, just a Mavis Beacon-like figure, a generic lady.
Yes, and so now there are Pokemon on top of rolling balls, rolling toward the screen with letters on them. Oops. And you have to type them as they come through, as you see the letters.
Which Pokemon are we seeing?
I'm seeing, there's a lot of Gen, like Pokemon Black and White ones that I missed.
Okay.
So there's some, like, I don't know the Fire Pig, I can't remember what the Fire Pig's name is. I completed the research.
Was it fun? What you just did.
I don't know. I wasn't typing words. I was only typing letters, right? Mm. I feel like the fun of Typing of the Dead, the thing that we loved in that game was that
it was nonsense.
It was nonsense. It was crazy.
Yes, yeah.
But Heather, you should give it a try.
All right, I'll give it a try. Yeah. Here we go, guys. I'm going to try Pokemon Typing Adventure. It's on screen. Not bad, says the researcher. Now you have a medal. The Elite Typist Club has given you the title of So-So Typist. That's you, Matt. So-So Typist.
Hey, that's bad. I'll take it.
Okay.
I aspire to So-So.
Oh, geez. Now to check your title. There's a lot happening. Press the home button to check your title. Go to your room. Why do all these games have so many fucking menus?
Every game tells me, go to your room.
You can check your title on the
there.
Typist card. Check your... Do the typist card.
That's the thing that I think about with games like this and Pokemon Go and stuff.
I'm not even a
fucking... Heather didn't even try.
I'm not even gonna try it.
Wow.
There's too much shit happening. Total correctly typed keys, 15 keys typed. I don't want any of this shit. Bye.
Wow. pulled the ox cord out.
I'm gonna play it at home.
This does make me want to see a Twitch stream of this.
A Pokemon taping adventure?
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, games like this are really the meat and potatoes of my collection.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, if you tell me, hey, do you know that there was a game that came out that you needed to play a cassette next to your Game Boy in order to, like, move the controller around? I'd be like, fuck, that's for me.
Yeah.
But if it's a game that's just like, hey, here's a, it's either combat or peripherals. That's me.
Yes.
Yeah.
That, I mean,
yeah,
I did not have fun. I just, it was the first thing. You know, I already know how to type. They're not, Pokemon's not going to teach me anything I don't already know how to do. All right.
Sure.
But if I was a kid trying to learn, I'd be like, okay, these guys are really giving me what for here. This is crazy stuff.
Did you know Mavis Beacon is not a real lady?
Yes.
Of Mavis Beacon teaches typing.
Yes, I knew
we
that.
Talked about this probably in the podcast before.
But also,
I always thought it was a real person. I was shocked when I found out it was a fictional character.
You think everything that you see on TV or on a screen is real?
Yeah.
That's why you get so scared by horror games.
Don't prove it otherwise. Oh, God.
Yeah, so, Nick, for all you know, I'd be worried about us two, Heather and I. We're on a screen right now.
Well, yeah, you guys are real, though, right? Mm.
I feel like we've lost a little steam here in the third act of this podcast.
I ate a big sandwich earlier, and it's taken me down. A huge sandwich.
Wow.
Guys, I pitched something to you guys,
mm-hmm.
And I want to pitch it here live on the podcast so that the listeners can be here for the gentle discussion that we're going to have about this future possibility, which is, I think, in a future month, a future Pokemon, if you will.
Wow.
We should do all Star Wars games.
Wow.
I think it should be called May the Month Be With You.
Sure.
You know, because May the 4th be with
yes,
you.
Yes, yes.
I don't think right. It should necessarily be a May.
Right. It doesn't have to.
Like, it could be Star Wars Ember.
Sure.
But mm-hmm. I think we should do an all Star Wars month.
Yes.
Since this one has been so successful.
This one's going really good. And
this has been a blast.
No one is mad that we're doing it.
Yeah.
So, and nobody will be mad about Star Wars either. So that's good.
I think it's an excellent opportunity to talk about canon through the lens of the games.
Yes. Yes.
Like, it is canonical that Anakin Skywalker in Episode One Racer had like a full career.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Well, also just like Grand Admiral Thrawn from the Timothy Zahn novels, mm-hmm. when he shows up in TIE Fighter, I was like, holy shit. That's just, I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know you could take a character from the book and just put him in a Star Wars game and just like, he's just rendered on screen. And now he's just real. You know, like I love shit like that. Yeah, I'm into it. I think it might be a good May. It feels like this is a good theme month for us.
So we'll save this audio and we'll just release that too.
We'll just release this at the start of next May when we dig into the games featuring the real people of Luke Skywalker, Chewbacca. They're real because I've seen them on screen. And that's this week's Get Played. You can follow us on social media at Get Played Pod. Our music and engineering are by Devin Bryant. You can follow him on Twitter at BaffleGabs. And this month's We Play, You Play is Pokemon Gold Silver, coming Monday, May 30th. Very, very excited to dig further into this
and
talk about it in depth. I'm going to finish this game. Like, I'm going to finish Elden Ring. I'm finishing Pokemon Gold Silver. It's going
to
happen.
Wow. And something I wanted to flag that I forgot to flag last week is that there's timed exclusive merch, just like last May with Mario.
Oh,
yeah. Go to podswag.com/played. Get your Pokemon merch, baby. Start repping Pokemon. And people will be like, what's that? And you'll have no way to explain.
There was another pitch that I'm thinking about that I talked with you guys. I texted with you guys about because we were talking about Heather's keep your games dictum.
Yes.
And I had a pitch where Matt and I would go through all of the games that we sold to GameStop and try to put up with how much money we've given away. So how much did I, those Samba de Amigo maracas, if I had exchanged those for $12 in 2007,
and
what would they be worth now?
While we're throwing pitches out, I did just come up with another one real quick. You got played.
Oh, nice.
I'm uncomfortable. I'll just say I'm uncomfortable.